Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Selena LaRue Hatch joins us. She's running for re-election in Assembly District 25. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And University Medical Center of Southern Nevada, offering the highest level of care in Nevada.
Shelley Berkeley, a proud Las Vegan who shatters barriers, becoming the first in her family to attend college and served as UNLV's student body president. Serving in the Nevada Legislature, the University Board of Regents, and 7 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives, Shelley excelled as the senior VP of the Toro University System. Shelley Berkeley, a dedicated mother and family woman. Shelley has the experience we need as our next mayor. Shelley gets things done.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Selena LaRue Hatch. This was to be a debate between you and Deanna Sandy over District 25 for the Assembly. She unfortunately has had health issues, and she's publicly spoken about that on Facebook, etc. So we wish her well. But in the meantime, we're going to have a conversation with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, I think it's important to talk to your voters and be open and transparent. And I will take that opportunity every time I can to come talk about the stances that we care about.
I am shocked. I'm very pleased. let's start out. Before you ran for office, you were a history teacher. Are you still teaching?
I'm still teaching.
Okay. I know that from your Wikipedia page, you taught at Hug High School, mm-hmm. North Valley Schools. Where are you now?
I'm at North Valley's now.
Okay. Not the easiest places to teach, I'm thinking.
They come with their challenges, right? Hug and North Valley's both have high poverty. They have a lot of transiency. We have behavioral issues. But I love teaching at those schools. I think those kiddos are the kids that need the most help and the most support. And I think I can have the most impact on the community by helping them get an education and get opportunities that maybe they wouldn't be afforded otherwise.
You know, I always think that, when companies are looking to hire people, that instead of just hiring somebody because you're a certain thing, you can pick which category you want, that they should be going into these schools and coming to people like you and saying, okay, who is the brightest kid mm-hmm. that we can reach out to, we can train, and that eventually that kid will be successful and come back to the community and help others.
Yeah, I mean, I have incredible kids. In my 10 years of teaching in Washoe County, I've had such bright, brilliant, hardworking kids, and maybe they faced adversity that not every kid faces, but they persevered, and I couldn't agree with you more that they can add so much to our community.
I wanted to just really go over a bunch of things that are on your website. We've talked about some of this stuff before, but for those that didn't see you the last time you were on the program, one of the things that you're unhappy about is redundant testing. What do you mean by that?
So we overtest our students. We have all these different measures to see if they're learning. And I think that the goal behind that makes sense. We want to make sure our money is getting to the classroom and it's being effective. But, you know, in elementary school, they take an iReady exam in math and reading. They take math exams, map exams in math and reading. They take smarter balanced exams in math and reading. And I think they spend up to a third of their year just testing. And that is stuff that we could be spending that time learning and growing and maybe having one test to see if they learned. And so that's when I talk about redundant testing is, why are we spending all of this money? Because it costs money to run all of those as well, and time, when we could be focusing on things that are actually effective in helping children learn.
I know that Washoe County does better in a lot of areas than the rest of the state, especially Clark County. What are your concerns as a legislator in terms of kids with math and reading? Because it seems to me that of everything, if a kid graduates without being able to read properly or without being able to do math, that they are crippled for life.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. It's part of why I ran, is we need to make sure our diplomas mean something, that when you graduate from Washoe County or any school in Nevada, that that diploma means you have these basic competencies and you can go right into a job or you can go into college and you can be successful. There's a lot that goes into that. I think class size is one of the biggest, because a lot of kids are able to slip through and hide. If they're not a behavior problem, but they don't quite understand the material, they might get ignored in a class of 40 while you are juggling all these other kids. I think that we also need to make sure we're investing our money in smart ways that's actually getting to the classroom and not just some new gadget or some new program that a consultant says is going to work, but the teachers on the ground know are not that effective.
Okay, so for example, what do you need that you're not getting at this point?
I think right now smaller classes is the most important thing that we need that we are not getting. We invested a lot in our schools last session, and I'm proud of that work. We have made progress. When I first ran for office, I had classes of 40 to 45.
Really?
Now, yes. I mean, imagine 45, 15-year-olds in a room together. That's a lot to be teaching. Now, this year, it is better. I have between 28 and 35 in my classes, and that is an improvement. But we are still the largest in the nation. The average class size is 15. Now, I'm not saying we have to be at 15, but we can certainly do better than we are at right now. So I think things like that are the kind of real concrete changes that we need. But it's not just money-based. We also need to reduce the amount of paperwork and bureaucracy that teachers are required to fill out. I have to spend my time filling out all these reports when I could be spending that on tutoring and grading and helping kids learn.
Where do these reports go to?
They often go to the principal or the district or even the state. To be honest, I don't think a lot of people read them. I think that the legislature and the district and the state board of ed pass all these accountability measures, again, with the very best of intentions, but not understanding that every one report you've added onto the plate, there's five other entities that have added a report, and now you've just added 6 hours a week just in reports onto a teacher's plate.
So if you could... Give me a list of what you would get rid of if you could.
So there's a thing we do called student learning objectives where I have to prove that I'm teaching. And again, I am totally happy to have anyone come into my classroom and see that I am teaching. But basically I have to, when I teach a unit, I write an essay about what I'm going to teach. I teach halfway through, I write another essay about how it's going. And then when it's done, I write another essay about how it went. And I'm analyzing all along the way. And while I'm doing the work of analyzing anyway, it's those essay writing that take up all that time. And so I think that we call them SLOs. That's one of the biggest burdens on teachers' plates that, frankly, I don't think anybody reads.
Okay, so who's doing anything about this? I mean, you know, as a union, are you guys complaining? Or
so I brought
are
a bill.
You as a legislator directly complaining?
Both. Okay. So I brought a bill last session to get rid of those. I will be bringing it back next session because it didn't make it all the way through. There were other bills last session. We reduced some of the testing burdens last session. We're going to keep working on that next session. I think that the problem is most folks that aren't in the classroom don't know this is happening. And so it's our duty as teachers. It's my duty as a legislator to raise those alarms.
Talking about raising alarms, school boards, mm-hmm. You have concerns? I mean, especially in Clark County.
I think Clark County is its own beast. I am very happy with our school board. I think that we have had some very reasonable candidates that prevailed in our recent elections. I'm proud of our community for standing up against really extreme candidates that tried to take over. And I just hope that our community continues to be engaged and we continue to have leaders that are getting into the classrooms and seeing what's actually happening.
Oh, which is so important. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Selena LaRue Hatch after this time out.
Before you vote, you should have all the facts. But there's one problem. Sam Brown's hiding the truth. He doesn't want you to know he spent a decade working to ban abortion. Doesn't talk about running for office in Texas, supporting one of the harshest abortion bans in the country, and hides the fact that he ran a group trying to ban abortion in Nevada. The truth?
On issues of life, that is a non-negotiable commitment.
He's an extremist, and he's wrong for Nevada. Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Selena LaRue Hatch. She is running for re-election in Assembly District 25. Oh, I wanted to ask you one more question about education. And this is stuff that's on your website. You said you wanted to ensure that the curriculum is providing real-world skills to our students. I find that very interesting because when I went to school back in the late 1800s, that was one of the problems, was that, you know, In physics, for example, they were teaching, you know, how magnets worked. But if they'd told me how to build a radio station, I'd have been all in. A magnet drawing, I wasn't into. Your thoughts on this?
No, I think that you just described the exact issue, right? We need to make sure that what we're teaching is tied to reality. It's tied to careers. It's tied to real world situations. We don't need to do math in the abstract. We can do budgeting. We can do graphing for robotics, and we can partner with local businesses. I think that we need to do a better job of bringing the community into the classroom and making sure that what we're teaching is applicable and there are connections that kids can make to skills they will need immediately upon graduation.
Do you realize how hard it is for people in business and just people who want to help to get involved with the school district? I mean, we had a nonprofit for many years, and it was incredibly difficult to do things, to break through, to communicate with teachers, to communicate with principals.
So I can tell you from a teacher's perspective, I bring in outside folks all the time because I think it's really important. But the district is a beast, right? The district is enormous. It's not talking to one teacher. And so I think that the systems of the district are slow, and it's one of my frustrations as a teacher. But I think as a legislator, what I can do is shine a light and I can help make connections. And hopefully when people raise those concerns, I can raise them within the district and we can work on fixing those issues.
Because it seems to me that there, you know, I mean, obviously you have the Teslas and the Panasonics and other major corporations that are definitely involved with the school system and with the university system. But there are lots of other people that I believe would willingly get involved if they could see a path that wasn't being crushed when they tried to get in.
No, absolutely. And I think, too, though, the larger issue that I hear, you know, at the doors and from the parents of my families is just making sure that our education is quality, that we're investing in our students. You know, we are one of the lowest funded education systems in the nation, and we're working on it, and I will continue to work on that. But I think it's really important too that we are keeping that money in our public schools. You know, my opponent, she wants to privatize schools. That's deeply concerning to me, because all these productive, great conversations we're having right now don't happen if that money is not invested in public schools and if it's sent elsewhere.
Okay, so you're talking about school vouchers, mm-hmm. And that's another whole issue. So
for sure.
Let's get into that on another day.
Yeah.
I would like to get into the topic of, you know, you have it on your website, of jobs and the economy, mm-hmm. and diversification. It seems to me that Northern Nevada has done an amazing job, mainly through the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, of diversifying the economy. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that in terms of the diversification part? I know there are other parts you don't agree with, but do you agree on the, at least the diversification side?
So I agree that we need to be looking at new industries. We can't just rely on tourism to support us forever. And so I think you bring up there's other issues, I think, around infrastructure and abatements and tax giveaways for sure. But I do agree that where we can, we need to be supporting high quality jobs. We need to be supporting jobs in different industries, and we need to make sure we're preparing the workforce to meet those new demands.
Okay, but don't you agree, though, that those are the companies that are coming, that we are seeing, you know, high-tech companies, data storage companies that are paying, you know, are high-paying jobs, and that's helping to diversify the economy? I mean, Northern Nevada has done much better than Southern Nevada, for example, in terms of the diversification, and that's paid off for us in terms of the employment situation. Yes?
I mean, I think that we all agree that diversifying our economy is a good thing, and
I'm trying to pin you down.
But
are we not doing that? I mean, you made the point earlier that we can't continue to rely on tourism. I mean,
right.
I think that gaming is still a large part of the economy in Northern Nevada,
right.
Even though a lot of local politicians tend to poo-poo it. But really, the taxes that are raised by that mm-hmm. and the jobs that are created by that are huge. I mean, you're seeing, you know, $1 billion investment in the Grand Sierra Resort, for example, mm-hmm. With a partnership with UNR as well. The other side of this is the abatements. Mm-hmm. Some of these companies are just not going to come here if they're not getting abatements, because that's the game all across the country, is every state is offering these abatements. Mm-hmm. And if we don't play that game, then we're not going to get those. And down the road, we eventually do get those tax benefits from those.
And I disagree with the premise, because I think that you are buying into the myth of this race to the bottom, that we all need to give away the entirety of our tax base in order to get business to come here. I think there is a lot to be gained by moving to Northern Nevada. I think that the data storage that you bring up, we have these huge open spaces where they can build data storage. They can't build that in the middle of New York City or in these other places.
No, but they can in Texas, New Mexico, Utah.
But I think that when we have this discussion, we have to think about what we are getting back. I am not saying that we shouldn't diversify the economy and we shouldn't attract business. I think we should. I think we need to look at the data and make sure we are getting a return on our investment. For example, there are many, many, many employees out at Tesla that are being supported by state services like Medicaid because they are not being paid a living wage. I don't think it helps us to give a tax abatement and then turn around and have to support those employees with social services. And so what I think we need to do is look at them and make sure we are actually getting a return on our investment.
But isn't that the responsibility of the state? And doesn't the state have clawbacks that if companies are not living up to what they said they would, then they don't get the abatements?
So the legislature actually doesn't have oversight over that process. And so I think the legislature should. I am not saying we should never do this. I'm not saying we shouldn't.
Okay, all right. You're right. It's GOED
right.
and the governor's office.
Right. Right. But I do think the legislature should have oversight, and I think we should be more aggressive in analyzing that data and implementing those clawbacks if they're not meeting their standards.
Okay, but when you look at the number of workers out at TRI, are you not impressed by the growth that we've seen in jobs that are outside of the tourism industry?
I think jobs are good. I think jobs that are not paying well or jobs that you can't live on are not. And so we just need to look at it and see if we're getting that return.
Okay, but my understanding is that, you know, Tesla and Panasonic, for example, mm-hmm. had to show that they were paying a certain amount of money for those jobs and they were higher than the average wage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true? I'm not saying that every person, but I mean,
right.
overall balance.
I think when you look at the percentage of their employees that are drawing from Nevada Public Services to get by, that's what's concerning.
Do you know what percentage that is?
I don't off the top of my head, but I am happy to provide it.
Okay, and spoken like a true politician who understands how to deal with the media.
Yeah.
in Southern Nevada, we're seeing now the fruits of economic diversification at Apex, for example. And, you know, it's taken years for that area to get developed, but North Las Vegas has done a great job in helping with that, and now, of course, the state. And now you're seeing development all the way out to Jean. But I mean, I can't imagine a time when we will be able to diversify away from gaming and tourism and sports and all the rest of it that are, you know, the drivers of the engine for Nevada, let alone for Southern Nevada. So as much as we try to do with economic development, but why would people come here if they're being offered deals in these other states? Why would they come to Nevada?
Well, I think they come to Nevada.
And you're right about New York. I mean, they're not going to New York unless it's upstate New York.
That's fair. But we have a lot of resources, and especially natural resources. And when we are talking about industries that rely on our minerals to exist, for example, they're not going elsewhere because what they need is here. And so I think that we need to stop underselling ourselves as a community and stop underselling ourselves as a resource and start understanding our value. And I also think, to go back to what we started with, we have a world-class education system. Companies are going to want to come here because they're going to want workers from that education system, and they're going to want their kids in that education system.
You know, there is an irony, which is that a lot of these companies come to Nevada because, as you pointed out, there's inexpensive land. Power is not as expensive as it is, for example, in California. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one company who said they weren't coming to Nevada because of a poor education system. And I'm not saying that we didn't need to put the money we've put in, and that there's probably a need to put in a whole bunch more before we're done. But I can't think of one company that said, we're not coming to Nevada because of a poor education system.
And I disagree. I think that you might want to have a conversation with Mike Kaczmierski and GOED. They have told us at the legislature that that is a problem, that it is a challenge in attracting folks here because they're concerned about the workforce and they're concerned about their own children going through our education system.
All right. We will agree to differ for the time being until we have numbers. Let's take another break. We'll be right back with Selena LaRue Hatch after this timeout.
Join working families and support Selena LaRue Hatch, a teacher running for re-election to the State Assembly. She's the only candidate backed by law enforcement organizations and taking a stand to permanently protect our reproductive freedom. Vote Selena LaRue Hatch.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Join working families and support Selena LaRue Hatch, a teacher running for re-election to the State Assembly. She's the only candidate backed by law enforcement organizations and taking a stand to permanently protect our reproductive freedom. Vote Selena LaRue Hatch.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Selena LaRue Hatch. She is running for re-election in Assembly District 25. One of the things that you're not happy about is what you call the corporate giveaways including the giveaway to John Fisher to build the stadium for the Oakland A's in Las Vegas. Do you not look at the jobs for, you know, because you talk a lot about union workers, that there are a lot of union jobs that are going to go into building that stadium and rebuilding whatever the Tropicana becomes once it's rebuilt?
So I am a fierce union advocate. I'm a union member. I want good paying union jobs. And I want our union workers to be able to pay that or to build that stadium. But I would like John Fisher to be able to pay for it himself because he's a billionaire. Our community was not happy with that bill. I can tell you in session, I got the most outreach from my community on that bill.
Okay, when you say my community, who are you referring to?
Assembly District 25, my constituents.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
I got the most outreach from them on that bill saying they did not want it, that they wanted a billionaire to pay for his own stadium. Now, in addition to that, I did a lot of research, and economists have shown over and over again that there is not an impact in a positive direction on the economy when you build a stadium.
What about Allegiant? I mean, Allegiant has outperformed every number.
Allegiant has had a lot of folks come to visit, right? We've had a lot of folks that are buying tickets. I have not seen any studies that show it has had a positive impact on the area around it. And I think that's what's important to look at in those studies. Is it showing number of tickets or is it showing positive economic impact on the businesses around? Because most studies show that local businesses around a stadium tend to close because now people are going to the stadium rather than going to the local businesses.
But isn't that part of what happens with economic development and redevelopment? That you build something new, other businesses either have to catch up, redo the way they do business, or they're going to go out of business.
And I think that if a billionaire wants to build his own stadium and then capitalism works and the other businesses close, that's fine. But I don't think that the government should put its thumb on the scale and help small businesses to close because we're subsidizing billionaires.
I wish I could have got you going in this interview, really. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for doing this. And potentially I will see you in Carson City.
I look forward to it.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.